And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to be worshiping His holy name. And that's the big idea we're going to be sharing today, is about worship. And welcome to worship. And how great is it to worship His holy name? Amen? It's so great. This morning, too, we're going to be, if you want to turn to it, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 12, we're going to be taking a look at Abraham and Sarah. And you're thinking, well, what would be the importance of worship with them? Well, it's going to be very interesting what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning about that, about worship. And I don't have my... So I'll get you to change it to number two slide for me. Thanks. So if someone come up to you and said, what does worship mean to you? How would you respond to that? How would you say, well, worship, well, let's see, how would I define that? Think about it for a minute. I've talked to people and they've said to me, well, I just love the sun. I'm a sun worshiper. Well, you can get burnt, you can get sunburns on it. All kinds of things could happen to you with that. And also other people say, oh man, well, I just love the wind. The wind, I just love the wind because I can do all these different things. I can go sailing, and I just worship that wind. And there's people worshipers. Well, my favorite musical artist is this, or my favorite basketball or soccer player, and I just worship these people, and or hockey player. Whatever the case is, some people just think, wow, this person is really great. Just love this person. And then other people will say, well, I just love my car. Old people, I love my car more than I love my wife. And you'd think to yourself, well, why would the people want to worship a vehicle? You wonder that. They might not come right out and say, Sandy, I just worship this vehicle so much. They might not, but they put everything into that worship. Everything into it. Or there's people that would say, well, I just keep my bank account going up and up and up. I just worship my bank account. I just can't wait to get this amount of money. And when I get this amount of money, then I'm going to be happy. Do you think they will be? And they worship that. And then they keep going on and on. Well, have you ever run across people too saying, oh, I just love shopping. I just can't wait to get shopping. Oh man, that's all I want to do is shop. I've talked to people like that. So have you that love, you know, people that just love to get to the malls or get online and do all kinds of different shopping, and they spend a lot of time there. And when they think about, I got to get these new clothes. If I don't have this brand new, I got to do this. Now, the list goes on and on. So have you ever run across people in your life that you could almost define worship in their life by doing something specifically, and that's it? I've run across people like that. And so have you. You've run across people that think, this is the main purpose of my life. Can I ask you this? Do you know, or did you know, that these worshipers are in the same category as idol worship? Does that surprise you? Let me share a context with you about that. Well, often being associated with the ancient, when you think about the ancient idol worshiping, it's interpreted today as avoiding anything that takes priority over a relationship with God. Did you get that? Such as material possessions. selfish pursuits? Does that surprise you? Let's take a look at Exodus 20, 4 to 6. It's up here on the screen. Exodus 20, 4 to 6. Let me read it for you. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Well, you know, some people come back and say, well, Sandy, that's the law. That was back then, and that's the law. We're in the dispensation of grace now. We don't really go with that. Do you want to know what Jesus said then about that? In Matthew 5:17, take a look at that. He didn't come to abolish the law. What did he do? He didn't come to abolish that. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill that. So let me ask you this morning. If I asked you this question, I worship God because, somebody want to share that with me? I worship God because, yeah.
He is merciful.
He's merciful.
He first loved me.
He first loved me. Wonderful. He created, yes. Oh, how great. So when we worship God, and you think about it now in your life, is there something in your life where it might be kind of a pendulum? Well, I worship him on this side, but when I get over to here, it's not so much. We're going to continue on here. If you want to shoot, yeah, give me that next. Thank you. So the big idea, like I shared this morning, is the importance of worship. The importance of worship. And if you got your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 22, we're going to take a look at that, verses 1 to 12. Would you follow along with me? After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they both went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for each and every one here this morning and for those that couldn't make it. For whatever the reason might be, we pray for them as well. I thank you, Lord, too, for blessing this chapel the way you have, for the many saints that have came through here, so many. And I thank you, Lord, too, for what you're going to do here this morning. I pray for each and every one. I pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And I thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we'll keep it on three there for now. Back, yeah, right on. Thank you. So, the importance of worship. Have you came to a place with that yet this morning? Let me share this. In every worship experience, did you know that there's only two people? Two people involved. And do you know who those people are? It's God and the worshiper. Just two people. We know that we are to worship God, but when we worship God, he's praised, honored, and glorified, isn't he? I trust he is in everything we do. In everything we do, each time in our lives, we're to worship him and thank him. So when you start your morning, do you worship him? Do you thank him? Do you praise him? Thank you, God, for today, what you're going to do today. Do you turn the day over to him? Did you know that's a form of worship? When you walk out the door, did you know? If that's on your heart and in your mind and you're going out the door and you're driving down the road or wherever you're going, what are you thinking about? Where's your heart in all of that? But what do we receive from worship? You think to yourself, well, Sandy, I worship doing these things. I do this and I do that. I don't receive a whole lot. Do you know that's how people think today? They want something so bad that all it is they want, they want, they want. What do we give back to God? What do we give back to our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we give back ourselves? Worshiping God for the believer, did you know, that's the highest priority in our lives. The most highest priority. When you share your life, when you go about sharing your life, let me share this with you. This is a statistic I looked up. Did you know that 95% of professing Christians don't share the gospel? Don't share the good news? I was really taken back by that. And did you know this also? That 65% of professing Christians that say that they know Jesus Christ, they can't tell you. They can't tell you in their life if they've shared the gospel with someone that will be in heaven because of them. Does that statistic startle you? Startled me. We see that worship, that's a key theme in the Bible, cover to cover. Key theme. David in Psalm 29:2 says this, give unto the Lord the glory due his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship again. Psalm 81:9, there shall be no foreign God among you, nor shall you worship any other God. Psalm 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Mark 4. Rather, Matthew 4:10. Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only. Now, did you get that part? And him only shall you serve. And why is that? Because we have, my dear friends, a jealous God. Very jealous God. He wants our worship. The Apostle John in Revelation 15:4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations, not just some, all the nations shall come and worship before you. That's what John wrote, the island of Patmos. And again, John, again, at the end of verse 9 of Revelation 22, wrote simply, take a look at that. He simply wrote this, worship God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but one reason Jesus died was so we could worship God. We cannot worship God in our sins. Why? Oh, why can't it? Because he's holy. He can't accept that. And did you know this? That's where sanctification comes in each and every day of our lives, to get sanctified. And what does that mean, Sandy? It means to get set apart. Get set apart. To get sanctified. Jesus died to take away our sins enabling us to worship him. Worship him. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Where are you at with that this morning? In spirit and in truth. When I share with you about the importance of worship, do you pick out any key words there, that big idea? Importance. What does the word importance mean to you? Importance. And then when you come along, the importance of worship. That is, it cost the Son of God his life so we can do what we are doing right now this morning. We're worshiping him. We're honoring him. You're here this morning, not for me or my daughter, it's to worship him. We're worshiping him and thanking him that we're here this morning to honor and glorify him. That and that alone shows us the importance of what we do here at the chapel every Sunday. You come here to worship him. So what does worship do for the worshiper? How can that benefit the worship? What benefits do we get from worship? Think about that. God blesses you. Did you know that? You worship him and you honor him in your life, he will bless you and keep you. God's word tells us that he will bless you and keep you. And what else does his word tell us? Call upon me and I'll answer you. Do you call upon him? I trust you do. In fact, it's a cure for worry. Did you know that? Did you know that worship is a cure for worry? And not just worry. Discouragement, anxiety, nervousness. Have you ever come across people like that? With anxieties and they got all these things going on. Have you ever just stopped and looked at a person and you could tell there's something going on in their life? I know I can. I can tell that. God puts that on my heart to go talk to some people. I went to share with some people on Friday. He's not a believer. I went over to see him. He's got bone cancer. He's getting treatments right now. God put it on my heart to go see him. And I talked to Rick and Darlene. She's not that well. And he was susceptible. He was open. I didn't go over with my Bible and start thumping him over the head with my Bible or preaching at him, or I didn't beat him over the head that if you don't do this or you better do that. I didn't do that. I came over to him to demonstrate the love of Christ. That's what I did. And I left a couple of tracts with him, and I gave him a card for him and his wife. And he opened up to me. Because I worshiped God before I went over, and I prayed about it, that God would give me the words to share with him so that he would be open. And they took those tracts and they said they'd read them. And they thanked me for coming. There's something about it when people are sick and when they need something in their life. I knew they needed something. And when you cross paths with people in your life, take a couple of moments and see how they're doing. Usually you can tell. And we're asked God, you know, is there something going on with this person? And that, by doing that, did you know you're worshiping God? You're worshiping him. Psalm 6:11, he says this, in thy presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Do you think that's not correct? Pleasures forevermore in his presence. In God's presence, fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Worshiping does that. Ushers us into the presence of God, and we're there in the fullness of joy. And what's happening? What's happening then when we're doing that? We're washing away worry, anxieties, nervousness. Because we're worshiping God. Do you ever try that? Friends, joy and worry. Did you know this? Joy and worry cannot, now get this, they cannot abide in the same heart. They can't both be there. This story in the Bible, it illustrates this. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. I'm going to share some of that with you. Seen in Genesis 22, 1-2. If you go back to your Bible and follow through with me, we need to understand what's going on here, okay? This is huge what God is asking Abraham to do. It is huge. Think about it. I need you to get this, and if you don't, you're going to miss the whole story here. This is serious. It's life and death. God is asking Abraham to what? To go to Mount Moriah and to what? To worship him. By taking his son, his only son, that he loves very much, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. God's not only asking him just to kill Isaac, but to what? To cremate him. Before we go any further, let me quickly take you back a few decades here and remind you of Abraham and Sarah's story. Abraham and Sarah, they've gone through their whole marriage, haven't they, without any children of their own. God promises them a son. So when their son Isaac's born, Abraham is now what? He's 100 years old. And Sarah is 90. God blesses them with a son, and now he's asking them to sacrifice him and offer him as a burnt offering. Stick with me here. Now put yourself, can I share this? Put yourself in their shoes. Abraham must be asking himself, I've waited all of my life for this child. God gives me one, and this is how it's going to end in my life? Can't you hear Abraham asking himself that? And although there's no indication, I can't find, if you study that scripture, I can't find any indication of worry or anxiety on Abraham's part. He must have some, can't you imagine that? He must have something going on in his heart with this. Well, let's continue. See if you sense any worry in this. Keep following me. Genesis 22, 3 to 10. In reading this, I don't sense any worry or anxiety on Abraham's part, do you? And yet, I can't help but to believe that there has to be some anxiety here. There must be some type of apprehension going on in his life. There must be in the back of Abraham's mind questioning, what is God asking him to do? And yet he seems so calm in the whole situation, doesn't he? He seems that way. He seems to be at peace about it. Let's look at verse 3 again. Did you understand that? Did you understand verse 3? He rose up early, saddled the donkey. He took his son. He got the wood all together for the burnt offering, and they went. No resistance, no reluctance. According to the word, no worry, no debate, no discussion, no delay, no anxiety. I can't see any there. There's no indication of any worry, no inkling of any type of anxiety in this whole story. Abraham, he doesn't even seem shaken. He doesn't seem rattled at all. No wonder. When you think about God's word, it's truth. But we wonder, don't we? We wonder. How? Why? I think we find the answer here. I want you to hang with me. This is awesome. Here's the answer. This will bless you. Verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Okay, let's just stop right there for a minute. Worship. Did you get that word again? The lad and I will go yonder and worship. This is saying, to me, this is saying, we'll be back. We'll be back. Where's Abraham's anxiety? Where's Abraham's worry? There is none. How? Why? It's been washed away. How? In worship. How does this happen? How does worship wash away worry? Do you think there's a difference between worry and worship? Friends, there's a huge, big difference. Let me explain this to you. Worry is when you focus on who? On yourself. When you're strictly focused on you. Me, myself, and I. Your problems, your pain, your loss, your sickness, your sorrow, your situation. You come to a place where, you know, there's no hope. I don't have any hope. Let me share this statistic with you. Did you know no hope leads many to suicide? Many to suicide. Here's the stats. This is just in Canada. You can look it up if you want. Did you know there's 12 suicides per day? And there's approximately 4,500 per year. Suicides. I've talked to people where the mother's come home and found her son hanging. Suicide. I've talked to another lady who has a good friend where she came home and found her child committed suicide. How do you respond to that? Friends, there's no hope. Abraham had all kinds of hope. And friends, on the other hand, worship is when, we're going to talk now about focus. Do you focus? Do you focus on God? How do you worship this morning? Where's your focus? His might, his majesty, his power, his plan, his greatness, his glory, that all belongs to you if you worship him and honor him. And why? Because he gave his life for you and me. Gave it up. What was Abraham thinking here? What got him through all of this? Have you ever thought about that? I believe I know what he was thinking, and you might too. You might know what he's thinking. Can I share this with you? You shoot the next slide, please, Aaron. Slide 4. Yep. Thanks. In Hebrews 11:19, you might want to jot that down. Abraham knew that even if he slayed Isaac, God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. He knew that. This is what Abraham was thinking. This is what Abraham was focused on. Where was Abraham's focus in all of this? It was on God, which is what? Which is worship. He did what God asked him to do. What about us this morning? When we pray, we know whether it's right or wrong. We know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. We know what we should say and what we shouldn't say. We know how to treat people and not treat people. We know how to do things with other people. And did you know when you do that, that's a form of worship? Because you're treating people because Jesus Christ died for them as well, even though they might be outside of the family of God. And we need to bring them in, inside the family of God, don't we? Abraham's focus, it wasn't on Isaac. Abraham's mind, he was thinking, Isaac is good as slain. He's just gone. That's not where his focus was. He was doing what God told him to do. His focus was totally on God. Did you get that? The reason you see no indication of worry, no inkling of anxiety on Abraham's part is because he's not focused on me, myself, and I. Not focused on himself. He's focused on his son. His focus is on God, the power of God, the greatness of God, the glory of God. That's what worship is. Did you know that, my friends? That's what worship is. Worship is a laser focus, a straight laser focus on God. In everything you do, not just some things, everything. If you go to talk to someone, your laser focus with that person is on God. How will I honor you, Father, by sharing with these people or that person? Abraham's worship of God washed away all his any worry at all. He was focused on God's will for his life, and he wasn't worried about what was going to transpire or where where that would lead him. Can I share this with you this morning? Some of you this morning are worried right now. You've got worries going on in your life, and you're thinking to yourself, what am I going to do with that worry? Where is that worry going to lead me? Can I ask you this morning, why? Why are you worrying about that? Do you have control over that worry? Can I share this with you? You can be set free from that worry this morning. You can let it go and worship God, and it'll be gone. It'll be gone. You're anxious, maybe. You're thinking, well, Sandy, I feel a little anxious. There's things going on with my health. I have a situation. I just feel like my security or something's happening in my life. I just feel I don't have a well-being these days. I don't get along with this person anymore, but I want to, but I don't. And I just don't want to talk to these people anymore. I don't want to deal with that situation. Can I ask you why? Why don't you? Did you know if you did, that's a form of worship? Say, God, help me with this situation. Help me with this. People think about, a lot about their past. I've had a lot of people share with me, well, Sandy, I have a hard time with it because of my past. Did you ask Jesus Christ into your life? Did you ask him to forgive you of your sin and to set you free? Oh, yes, I've done that. Then let it go. Let your past go. Leave it at the throne of grace. I've talked to so many people about that their past is nailing them to the cross, just pounding against them. Let Jesus Christ deal with that if that's troubling you each and every day. Because he took all that on the cross. He took it all for you and I. Now, you mothers, you might be asking this question. I wanted to cover this briefly, and rightfully so. You're thinking, where's Sarah in all of this? You're thinking, where's the boy's mother that loves him so much? Where's she right now in all of this? And why is she allowing this crazy husband of mine to take and slay my son? Isn't Sarah worried? Isn't she thinking about what's going on? Or isn't she like wringing her hands or just sweating and trying to figure out, well, this is crazy. Why isn't she pounding on Abraham's chest saying, hey, they're screaming, hey, give me my son there. And, hey, away you go. I'll not allow you to do this to my boy. Go and find a goat or something to sacrifice. You don't read any of that in the story, do you? There's no indication that Sarah's worried or concerned either. But wouldn't you think she must be? She must be worried about it. She knows. What mother wouldn't be? Put yourself in her shoe. What mother wouldn't be concerned about that? Where is she? What's she thinking? What's going on in her head? So what's she thinking? Well, let's look at this together. Let's take a look at it. In Hebrews 11:11, mark that down. By faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear a child because she considered him what? To be faithful, who made her the promise. Did you know that we have so many promises in the Bible? If I told you there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, how would you respond to that? You have that many promises. Now, why is she not worried that Abraham's taken her son, her only son, whom she loves, out to sacrifice him? Because she knows God is faithful. He's faithful. God promised her this boy. He kept his promise. She knows that God's not going to relinquish on his promise because she's faithful. She believes. So what do we do with these three statements that have in common? One is God. Where is her focus? God. That's her focus. What is worship? It's when you focus on, and we've talked about that, we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. We focus on God, don't we? Her focus is the same as Abraham. His focus and her focus are what? Are one which is faithful. Are you faithful this morning? Or are you only faithful sometimes? The one who can raise the dead. Jesus Christ raised the dead. He can raise the dead. Friends, think about it. Think about this. If God can raise the dead, and we know he can, surely he can take care of what we're facing right now, right? Surely he can take care of that. If he can raise the dead. before we call on Melinda. Here's what I'd like you to think about what to do when worry comes. Worship the one who is able to raise the dead and watch your worry wash right away. If you were to ask Abraham and Sarah, they'll tell you the same thing. Someday, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you'll be able to ask them that. In the Synoptic Gospels, as well as the book of John, shares Jesus' death, doesn't it? We know many years later, God will take his son. Now, I want you to understand this. We know many years later, God will take his son, his only son, whom he loves. Did you know this? On that same mountain, Mount Moriah, where Abraham took his son and sacrificed him as an offering for our sins. On that same mountain, was Jesus worried? Do you think he was? I don't think so. You know why? Because he knew that God is faithful. He's faithful. And that even though he stays and he stays with them throughout his journey, that mission, 33-year mission, he knew that his mission was that he was going to be sacrificed and slayed. He knew that. And also he knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. Friends, worship and worry cannot live in the same heart. It's mutually exclusive. It can't happen. There's something Abraham knew, Sarah knew it, David knew it, as well as Jesus knew it. And now, can I share this with you? Now you know it. Amen. Who alone will you worship? Did you know that choice is yours? You have the freedom to choose right now who you want to worship, what you're going to worship, when you're going to worship, why you're going to worship. These are all things that's your choice. One of the services I plan on doing is on crowns, and I'm working on that service right now on crowns. But I was sharing with Marty, and I knew Marty and Lori weren't going to be here today, but the other part of this series is it's WPT, the importance of worship, the importance of prayer, the importance of thankfulness. So the next one, Lord willing, when he allows me to come, I'm going to share on the importance of prayer. So who alone will you worship this morning? Did you know your eternity weighs in the balance? Do you know how serious that is? Your eternity weighs in the balance of your choice. Adrian, you get up. Thanks. Let me ask that to you this morning. Are you worried and troubled this morning? What's troubling you? I'd like to talk with you after if you have something where I could pray for you if things are troubling you in your life. Well, you say, well, Sandy, that's very personal. I can't share that. Then share it with someone that then you can go to that they can pray for you. Did you know that's a form of worship? And will you allow God to get rid of all those worries this morning? Challenges in your life? Will you ask God to help you to make those decisions, those choices in keeping with his plan for your life and not yours? Take the me, myself, and I right out of the picture and put God first place in your life. Will you worship him this morning? And think about that big idea we shared, the importance. Look that word up in the dictionary, importance. And then look up worship, the importance of worship. in Jesus' name. And after Melinda sings, I'd like to come back and pray for you, Melinda.